When I was little, I had imaginary friends. I had two imaginary friends, and they were incredibly real, Charla and Chidi. They'll be so happy to know that I'm speaking about them on a podcast. They've grown up with me. When I do experience them now, they are grown up as well. They're very professional, way more professional than I am. I am Holly Davis Barrero. As a human being, it's easy to define things by their opposites. And I suppose I could say that, well, I'm not this or I'm not that. But I hear this question and I note specifically that this question is not asking me who I am as a person, which would to me inherently ask me to describe my personality. I guess that through the profound gift of empathy, we beings experience such phenomenon as, you know, sadness, grief, joy, all of these things. And so for me, I would say that I am one sparkly edge of the composite of human experience, or beings, period. We really are, as human beings, the felt experience of the universe. But my first real religious experience was in high school, the first time I took LSD. And so that when I was able to experience my senses in such an altered way, I began to see kind of like the Van Gogh paintings of life, like the trees on fire and that, and just knowing that, and that's really what led me to my own practice with maybe ayahuasca or medicinal psilocybin mushrooms and things like that. But the idea that we do create our own realities, and sometimes it requires us to be out of the collective shared reality in order to have that spiritual experience that gives meaning. I had experiences in my childhood, long before I had ever tried hallucinogenics, that gave me glimpses of it. And there's something so magical about childhood, where we are so open, as we all know, that we can tap into, because the world doesn't make sense yet. And so we can tap into the mystery in a much easier way than once we have gone and done, gotten educated and all of that. We lose the mystery a little bit because we think that we've got it. So a few things happened in my childhood that I think really led me to being open to the magic and medicine of hallucinogenics. And I think there are probably three things. The first thing is that when I was little, I had imaginary friends. I had two imaginary friends, and they were incredibly real, Charla and Chidi. They'll be so happy to know that I'm speaking about them on a podcast. They've grown up with me. When I do experience them now, they are grown up as well. They're very professional, way more professional than I am. But Charla and Chidi were very real. They would sit at the dinner table with me. They would go everywhere. They were advisors. They were friends. They were protectors. They were adventure buddies with me. And they still are. They're energetically very real to me, palpable. So that was transformative for me. Formative. What was transformative is that every year when I was like late elementary school, early middle school, my parents would pack me up and we would drive across the country every summer. So two months on the road. And I remember one time, the first time I had a very, very vivid dream was somewhere between Grand Rapids and, I don't know, somewhere in South Dakota, I guess. And we were on our way to a place called Wall, South Dakota, where Wall Drug is. So I had a dream, and I woke up after the dream in the middle of the night, and just my body was I felt every cell in my body because I remembered, and it was sensory, right? So I remembered the way this particular person looked walking towards me. And I'm 11 years old. I remember this kid walking towards me. I remembered his yellow shirt. I remembered the wooden steps he was walking down. As soon as he walked past me, I remembered having this, I smelled the wind behind him, and it was strong. It was aromatic. And I woke up and was just simply sort of taken by that deeply sensory experience at that age. Fell back to sleep, got up, had breakfast, got in the car, and we went to Waldrug. And we got out, and I went, and I wanted one of those freaking bumper stickers so badly. And we went into Waldrug, and I was buying all the little tchotchke shit. And I walked out, and this young man walked past me up the wooden steps in a yellow shirt. And as soon as he passed me, I smelled him, and I knew that that was what it was. And I just was so overtaken in that moment by having the experience that my dream had showed me before I had it. I knew in that moment that the world as I saw it was permeable. And I didn't know how to get there again until I did. Was with my high school sweetheart, and we had actually, I'd done hallucinogenics by then, maybe a few times, and one night, Mikey was my high school sweetheart, and he was, so this is actually after we had graduated. I still lived at home for a little bit before I went off to college. Mikey was already in our college town, and we had talked on the phone, and I just missed him so much. And I had never meditated in my life, but I went to bed, and I remember just breathing. And at one point, I remember that it being like back in the old days when TV remote controls first came out, you could press the button and you'd actually see the static in between stations. You'd switch from 4 to 5 and you'd see like the static come up on the screen and you'd hear the, you know. And so I remember this sort of experience of being in the static and feeling it and hearing it and all of that. And then all of a sudden, I had never been to visit Mikey, but all of a sudden I was sitting on the windowsill in his dorm room, looking down to my right at him, and he was rolled over. And I said, "Hey, Mikey." And he rolled over and looked up at me, and he was like, and we called each other Woody. And he said, "Woody, what are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I just missed you so much." And we had a brief conversation, and then the next thing I knew, it was morning, and I never felt like I really slept that night, but I remember how real that was. Because of that experience, I have a little different interpretation of dying and death, that I don't want to stop living because I love life, but I'm really curious about death. And I do believe that it's just an energy transformation. You know, speaking about Melodoma Sommet and his experience straddling that space between life and death, which we all do every single day, every single moment we are alive, we are straddling it. But to do it with such an awareness to it or of it and an honoring of it, it creates the sacred that is life, and it creates the sacred that is death. And there is no difference between the two of those things. Did you ever read in, she published it in the New York Times, it was Steve Jobs' sister who wrote an obituary for him. And she described at the very end of that, the thing that Steve Jobs said right as he died. He says, "Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow." And I know that he dabbled on the edge and, you know, would microdose on the regular. And he knew about the other realms. He was versed in the other realms. He was prepared for his death, I think, in as best he could be, which is probably as well as anyone could be. But I think to have a response like that as death approaches, and that whatever that enveloping sense might be, as life leaves or death enters or life changes, whatever it is, that's exciting.
This has been episode 25 of Bite-Sized Blessings, the podcast all about the miracles and magic that surround us, if only we open our eyes to them. I'd like to thank Holly Davis Barrero for sharing her stories today, as well as the creators of the music used, Oscar H. Caballero, Music L. Files, Rommel Pro, Alexander Nakarada, Agnes Fomagia, and Sasha End. For complete attribution, please go to the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to books, music, and individuals I think will lift and inspire you to go out and do great work in the world. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Holly. Be open to the mystery and magic that lives between life and death.